T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From St. Vincent College, Bruce Ankoviak. Bruce, great to talk to you again.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Let's look at the arguments that are going to be made here. Best argument that, to your understanding, for why impeachment proceedings should move forward?
The discussion today is going to be, and it's almost, I'm almost sad to say this, America is going to have to go to law school today. And for those of us who have been there, that's not really a something you look forward to have to do again. But the point of today's hearing, apparently, is to discuss not just the procedural nuances of this, but to ask what is an impeachable offense when you do not have a clear-cut case of treason or bribery or a crime that is readily able to be perceived. In the Nixon case, a very clear attempt to pay people off to stay quiet, to obstruct justice, was a clear-cut case for an impeachable offense. The arguments all along have been there is simply not enough evidence to constitute a clear impeachable offense here. And the principal argument, as I understand it, is if you have to ask the question whether something was an impeachable offense, it probably isn't.
Is that a legal defense that's being made, or is that a political defense that's being made, in realizing that the impeachment process is probably a much more political one than a legal one?
This is almost entirely a political process. The question of other high crimes or misdemeanors, the way the Constitution reads it, has never been defined in a precise legal way. Indeed, it comes to us from the common law of England, in which it was also not particularly well defined. The debates, the Constitutional Convention, it never resolved precisely what this would be. There were people who argued that any sort of maladministration by a president could subject him or her to impeachment, but that has never been tested. And the problem is that a president who would contest that what the Congress says he did was an impeachable offense may have a very difficult time getting the ear of any federal court to decide that.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the very few cases where someone has challenged the impeachment process in court, the courts have said, you know, the Constitution puts this process within the purview of the Senate and the House. It's their business. We are not going to get involved in this. It becomes a separation of powers issue to which the courts have consistently deferred to Congress.
So it may end up being that the best argument for impeachment out of the House is the obstruction issue?
It probably will be. Either that or something on the nature of an abuse of power issue, which was raised in previous impeachments. I think the Andrew Johnson impeachment was probably more along that line. Some of the things in the Nixon impeachment were of that nature, that the president has abused the executive branch power to the extent that it should be considered along the lines of bribery or treason, because it would be of the nature of an other high crime.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is infused with politics from the very beginning.
Well, considering the whole thing, it seems to be about politics, considering the whistleblower report and this idea that the president was seeking political favors with U.S. taxpayer dollars. Does it not come down to a simple question of should the president be able to use his position as president, holding the purse strings of U.S. taxpayer money to be able to extract a political favor from someone who is an ally of ours in their war against a rival of ours?
It comes down to that as a factual matter. You then have to ask the question, is this something that is amenable to the impeachment process?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this something that you lay before the voters in the next general election and say to them, how can you reelect someone who did this? We are not in an area of a clear-cut crime that is easily definable and easily proven in these areas. There's certainly a great deal of information that suggests the potentiality of an improper use of presidential power here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough, though, to justify the ultimate political judgment of impeachment, as opposed to we have exposed activity on the part of this president that the American public should know and should definitely take into consideration when it comes time to consider his reelection?
All right. Many people saying that this should not even be taking place in the first place, this investigation. Considering this is based in large part off of that whistleblower report, do you see much of a wiggle room for Congress to just would have said that, you know what, we see this, we're just going to completely ignore it and pay no attention to it?
In the current political climate, something of far less import would never have been ignored. Any allegation, any instance of potential impropriety in the present political climate would be exploited by either side to its maximum potential. No possibility that people would say, well, that doesn't really seem like something worthy of our time.
What do you think of the likelihood of not going with recommendations of impeachment, but a censure against the president instead? What do you think?
I think that's certainly going to be a possibility. It would be, again, along the lines of a political statement by the members of the House regarding their consideration of these issues. What effect will that have is a practical matter. Probably not marginally more than the capacity for people of the opposition to the president to make a case against him already. It would give it a formal tag, a formal label. This president was censured by Congress for this. Is that going to become a significant political item in the next election? That is ultimately going to be, I think, where this is played out.
Law professor Bruce Ankoviak joining us from St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Bruce, thank you very much for your time. Always appreciate the insights.
Anytime. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.